Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. And, folks, I got a treat for you. George Cassidy's here. Now, he's a cool dude. He's a pretty cool dude in his own right, not taking anything away from him. But he and Richard Courtney have written a book about the Beatles. And the Beatles are a big deal. And as we all know, they have been, and really continue to be, especially if you consider iTunes to be a big deal. But their book is called "Come Together: The Business Wisdom of the Beatles," and I have an advanced copy, by the way, folks. I'm excited about that. George Cassidy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here. Congratulations on your book. What I like about your book is every chapter is like a couple of three pages. And I think that's smart because there's so many nuggets in here, folks. That's the reason I think you're going to like this book. George, I probably, before you were born, I was listening to the radio at night, WLS out of Chicago, WKYC out of Cincinnati, back when it was all there was AM, basically. Before I went to bed, or as I went to sleep, I would be listening to those stations on the radio. I heard the Beatles hit the airwaves around November 1963.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was just a teenager, just a kid.
Right, right.
And
right.
I heard them as they literally changed the Nashville. They basically created Nashville sound, the reaction mm-hmm. to that. They basically took folk music off the radio. They basically made rock and roll and country stop being on the same channels. They did away with the old doo-wop. They literally took doo-wop off the air, et cetera, et cetera. There's so many things that they had an impact on, didn't they?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and I envy you that experience because but when I became aware of the Beatles, of course, it was in the context of all the music that had followed the Beatles, and so...
Right.
You know, I never had that experience of hearing them just land, you know, like from the moon.
And how it disrupted everything, like the Internet's disrupted
right.
things. See, you're one
right.
of those people 20 years ago, George, who would have said to me as a young kid, you would have said to me, did you know that Paul McCartney was with a group before Wings?
Right, right.
I've actually had that experience, by the way, before. But anyway, so talk to us about the business wisdom of the Beatles. I remember reading about Brian Epstein, their great manager.
Yes, yeah. He was in large part responsible for the success that they enjoyed. A lot of people have criticized some of the deals that he made on their behalf because he was young and inexperienced. But in terms of energy and focus and drive, he made it almost inevitable that they would succeed because he auditioned them for every record label in London.
Right.
And it was one of the very last options that they had. It was a small label called Parlophone. It was really specialized in comedy
mm-hmm.
records. And so it was an unlikely fit, but the producer there, George Martin, saw something that he liked about the Beatles and he took a chance. And the rest is history.
Prior to that, they famously came up from Liverpool, which a lot of people might not realize is, as even though it was a blue-collar port town, you guys report that there was a lot of creativity in that town, a lot of musicality in that town.
Right. There were something like 300 bands working in Liverpool, and there was a sort of a strict hierarchy
right.
Of bands. There were only maybe a dozen who were working steadily in the city center. A lot of those other bands were working outside the city or in regional ballrooms.
And a lot of people don't know that even then, even back in the late 50s, American music was already hitting hitting England. Buddy Holly and Bill Haley and Chuck Berry and people like that. One thing that a lot of people don't know is that a little Texas guy, Delbert McClinton, taught the Beatles how to play harmonica.
That's right. That's right. He played on that Bruce Channel
Bruce Channel
that John Lennon loved.
Yeah, and, Bruce Channel. Hey, baby.
Yeah, Channel.
1962.
Right, and then so "Love Me Do," the intro to "Love Me Do" was
right.
was a takeoff on that. But yeah, the location. The other thing that was key for their success in the early days was their location, because they were playing a gig in the city center, around the corner from Brian Epstein's shop where he worked. And so they were, even though the venue and the time frame were not, this wasn't a prestigious engagement, wasn't the top of the heap.
Right.
They were in the right place at the right time for Brian Epstein to find them. So it was a question of location, and it was a question of persistence
mm-hmm.
that got them their record deal, while so many other very talented bands in Liverpool failed to do the same thing.
Well, one of the things you pointed out in the book, George, so well, and I appreciated this, that even there were probably a lot of good bands back there in those days, maybe even better than the Beatles, but you pointed out that John especially, and probably Paul, they weren't just singer-songwriters, and they had a vision, didn't they?
They did. They had a, you know, John Lennon, you know, the more you learn about John Lennon, the more you get the sense that he knew that he was he felt in his own mind that he was destined for something big. He had a conviction. He didn't really know what that was, perhaps in his childhood. But like when the American music, when Elvis and Little Richard and Chuck Berry hit England
right.
in the 50s, all of a sudden those feelings that he had a focus, and
mm-hmm.
he developed a real passion. And the same thing, you know, I don't know that McCartney ever had that childhood sense that he was destined to be a genius. But the same thing happened to him when American music hit.
Right.
He just became impassioned about it. And that's what drew them together.
Well, see, this is the entrepreneurial thing that small
right.
business owners feel inside their gut every day.
It's exactly the same thing. You know, there's you can't succeed on the scale that the Beatles succeeded unless you have that passion, unless it's something that makes you want to get out of bed every day.
You know, John always came across as arrogant more than the others. The other three, you could always tell that they seemed a lot more unaffected than John did. John always came across as arrogant, and now I realize that he was just saying, yeah, this is what I thought would happen.
Right. There's an element.
I was right.
There's certainly an element of that. I think he felt when he, you know, I never knew John Lennon, obviously, but it seemed
right.
like when success arrived, it was not a moment too soon for him.
No, he was like, yeah, this is about right, you know, and
right,
and of course
exactly.
he popped off a few times and got himself into trouble with that arrogance. When we come back, folks, we're gonna overlay the wisdom of the business wisdom of the Beatles with our small businesses and see if we can come up with something that will work for all of us. 20 after. George Cassidy is our guest.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.